With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
Hey, welcome to the Final Inspection Show, of course, brought by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. And it is a beautiful summer day, so make sure you get down to Great Lakes Dragway. This is one of these days that it's warm. It's like 80 degrees, but it's not muggy. So if you want to sweat, you go outside, you move around, get some exercise in. You can sweat if you want to, but if you want to just sit on the patio in the shade, have some brewskis, you're not going to sweat. So that's a win-win situation. Joining me, of course, behind the board is Mayor Mitch and Jeff Orlowski.
Hello.
Hey, this is an Antonio Brown thing.
Uh-huh.
This is for TV, right? This is all just for TV.
Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
It's hard not to
We know he's a diva, but he's not a, you know, he's not an idiot.
You wear the same helmet your entire career. You want to stick with it, you should be able to stick with it.
Well, don't even start with the NFL and their helmet rule, which is the stupidest rule on the face, because some doctor they dug up.
It's all about player safety, guys.
Yeah, that's a bunch of BS, because if anything, IndyCar drivers, race car drivers, they change helmets almost weekly, and the general consensus, well, it is the consensus, if you have a major wreck wearing a helmet, that helmet is done. It's sent off. They check it and everything else. You don't wear it again. These guys are wearing helmets that are being abused, not only in practice but in game times. Especially guys, you know, those guys on the line, the offensive linemen, defensive linemen. Those helmets are being battered. They're changing face masks, and these idiots in the NFL are going, "Well, we for player safety." No, it's not for player safety. You're listening to quacks. They're idiots. The NCAA does not do that. And thus, which is my real bitch about this, is that they screw up all the throwback uniforms.
Well, I could care less about the throwbacks, but I fully support Antonio Brown in this. If you should be able to wear whatever the hell you want. If he wants to wear one of those old leather helmets with no face mask, have at it. That concussion thing is so overrated. Dale Jr.'s weak for quitting NASCAR because he didn't have the stones to keep going because of quote-unquote concussions. You know,
okay, a question I do have for Jeff. Have you ever had a concussion, moderate, severe concussion?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
okay. Throwing up, double vision, have you ever had that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, then you're entitled.
I had it once as well.
And what do you think?
I had it in like third grade. It had to be because, yeah, just vomiting, double vision, headaches, obviously. Playing football, got it in the backyard.
Feeble old man EMT that I am now. Even back then, in the dark ages of the late 80s and early 90s, we knew that multiple concussions in a short period of time were the absolute worst thing.
Well, I'm not saying it's healthy, but I'm saying it's overblown. The movie Concussion, just because Will Smith is in a movie doesn't mean it's true.
Well, that's why I won't, because of him, I won't have a robot in my house either. So, you know, it's...
Yeah,
I liked iRobot. I'm the one guy in the world that liked iRobot. Anyways, well, we're gonna talk racing today. We will talk football though. The Green and Gold podcast is coming back. We will keep you up to date when we roll out with the first episode. Hopefully, maybe next week.
Yep.
Okay,
that works for me.
And we're working on getting Matt LaFleur coming down in studio, so we're looking forward to that. That should be pretty cool. We didn't know which one Favre wanted to come on the show. We're like, just slow down. we got to arrange you guys. So we didn't know if we were going to start off with LaFleur this year or Brett Favre or
Aaron,
you know,
Rodgers.
Well,
Favre is busy with his the boys on the morning show 6 to 10 here on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler were talking about the, what is it, Jeff? The thing where he gets to, you pay him $500 to send a video message to somebody.
Oh yes, I heard it. I saw. Yeah,
he's busy doing that. So $500 just to get him to say happy birthday to somebody.
And as a diehard Packer fan, I hate him to this day. So you wear that purple, you're dead to me. And he held the organization hostage, so I'm done with Brett.
Okay. So we will not have Brett Favre on the Green and Gold podcast. So that has been noted. We have a full show today. This is going to be really cool. A lot of stuff happening in the world of auto racing. And we got full we have NASCAR is in Mid-Ohio for Xfinity, where I'm looking forward to, because that is always just chaos on a road course. NASCAR is also in Michigan, running Truck Series today, Cup tomorrow. And we have Knoxville Nationals, the biggest sprint car event. It's so big, it's a week long.
Yep, it's awesome.
And we'll be getting a live report from John Degnitz, who's been on the show before. Later, at the end of this hour, we'll be hearing from John reporting live from Knoxville. That should be pretty cool. So, full show. The big news, though, today, I think it was yesterday or Thursday, Team McLaren is returning to IndyCar full-time. That's pretty big news. Of course, McLaren is an iconic name, not only in auto racing, but also in street cars with their supercars and whatnot. And they're big in Formula One. They've struggled the last couple of years, but they're starting to actually come back decently in Formula One, scoring points and whatnot. But they're going to run a full season next year, and they're going to be affiliated with Errol Schmidt-Peterson Racing. So it's going to be the Errol McLaren SP Racing team next year. And it'll be interesting to see where everybody lines up. It's the assumption that Fernando Alonso is going to run the whole season. No, maybe not. Maybe he's just going to run the Indy 500. We'll see. I expect him to definitely run the Indy 500. But will he run a partial schedule? Who knows? And where that leaves the Schmidt-Peterson guys is interesting. Of course, they already said they're going to keep James Hinchcliffe running. And James Hinchcliffe, some of the listeners may recognize from those Honda commercials, where he does a very good job. Last 2 years, he's pretty much the Honda spokesman. When you see that, this is my race car commercial. Next year, Schmidt-Peterson's going to be Chevrolet. So, however, he's kind of in a pickle. He's a Honda driver, but he's under contract for next year. So probably what will happen is that he'll have to run Schmidt-Peterson, unless it's Honda somehow or whatever buys him out, next year. And then maybe if Honda wants him, you know, switch over to Honda in 2021. So that would be interesting to see what happens there. Marcus Ericsson, who came over from Formula One, has shown some glimpses of brilliance this year. Good, steady, Swedish driver. He didn't say he's not happy about it, but he was very non-committal about it. And it sounds like he's out at Schmidt-Peterson for next year, not interested in driving next year for them. So, and then that leaves a couple. Well, who's going to drive the car? You know, is it going to be somebody like Connor Daly is going to be in the car? Could it be Santino Ferrucci, who is supposedly not under contract with Dale Coyne Racing next year? So, Dale Coyne would love to have him. And there's some, you know, is he under contract? Is it one of these situations where Dale Coyne has an option for him? That remains to be seen. So a lot of moving pieces, but it should be pretty cool with silly season moving forward with IndyCar and what develops with this Team McLaren, which I think checks a lot of boxes and gets people kind of excited, especially when you have a name like that, isn't it, Jeff?
It is. And when you have, you know, they're saying that the Schmidt-Peterson coming back is going to affect 10 to 15 drivers as far as silly season. You know, all the names you just mentioned, there's probably a handful more behind the scenes that haven't been talked about yet or anything like that. So this one move could affect so many people's careers that it's going to be exciting either way, no matter what happens. And I fully expect them to come out of the gates and be able to compete.
Well, yeah, because I think they learned their lesson this year at Indianapolis, because he had a team supposedly their budget for Indianapolis, I'm talking about Team McLaren, when he came to Indianapolis, they're going to do a one-off race with Alonso. Their budget was so big that they could have ran the entire series with the money they had.
Right.
So they came in kind of cocky, like, you want to do an affiliation with another team? No, we're Team McLaren. You know, we run Formula One. We know what the hell we're doing. And they didn't ask for any help. They came in and they did a little bit of testing. And then one of the guys, the board guys or whatever, said, that's not the, because McLaren runs an iconic papaya orange. If you remember the McLaren when they came over to IndyCar and when they were running Can-Am cars, they were sponsored by Reynolds Aluminum and that, they had papaya orange cars. Well, one of the guys, the old timers that's been with McLaren for eons, goes, you know, hey, mate, that's wrong orange. So they, instead of testing at Indianapolis, the cars across town getting painted the correct orange, and they're losing track time.
Yeah, they threw up all over their shoes.
And then there's some weather issues, and next thing you know, the steering wheel, you know, just that's brought up in some excellent. Jenna Fryer, I think, is one that did an AP story on it. If you want to look it up, just a ship of fools it became, and then they missed a race. You know, and it's like a lot of people were thinking, well, they're not going to come back. Well, I mean, there's. So that would be kind of silly, you know, because that happens to everybody. It happened to Team Penske, and I'm sure Zach Brown, who runs Team McLaren, talked with Roger Penske when they missed a race in 95, said, what did you learn? What did you do? And that was a kind of the same situation where Team Penske was in a situation they didn't know how to handle a situation they were in because they were never in it.
Right.
They were never in that position where, wow, okay, now what do we do? What, you know, what a movie, and it's kind of interesting when you analyze it from that position. So, you know, it's what do you think? Hey, what do you think of Jack Hawksworth in the Joe Gibbs car at Mid Ohio? He was quick yesterday.
He was quick yesterday. He
no more Jeffrey Earnhardt.
You know, that can only bode good things for that team.
We'll talk, because we talked to Dennis Michelson, who's coming up in the next segment here, about that IK9. And it's just funny. You know, whenever I see these sponsors that you've never heard of, mm-hmm. you don't know what they are, and they make a huge splash, I always look at them with a crooked eye, like, okay, what's going on here? I mean, we see DC Solar. And, you know, if you go on YouTube, somebody did a video on the worst sponsors in auto racing, you know, dating back to Chris Vallow in IndyCars back in the early 70s, where he was in NASCAR, he was in IndyCar, he had purple sponsors, the cars were purple, and he had you name it on it, and he was this mysterious guy who owned, you know, 100 multi-million dollar companies that nobody, of course, heard of, and Jerry Grant, who was one of the drivers with Dan Gurney, I asked him about 10, 15 years ago. I asked him, because he was a driver, he just kind of shook his head. He goes, I still have a $100,000 check in my desk at home with 3 NSF stamps on it.
So, yeah, you know, it makes you miss the days of Valvoline and you know, even more recent Target and stuff like that, you know, brands that you know, brands that you heard of. But again, NASCAR had a good finish last week. And hopefully, if they can keep up the momentum that they've built over these last 2 months with exciting racing, no matter what track they're on, what type of track they're on, hopefully more eyeballs will get tuned to the sets, more butts go into the seats. And these big name companies start realizing, hey, maybe NASCAR's not dying, and maybe we need to get back in and put our foot back in the door, and they get some good sponsorship back. But yeah, there's a lot of sponsors that, you know, you look at these cars and it's just like, what the hell? But I'll tell you, you know, the greatest car I've ever seen. And I saw it on Twitter, I want to say yesterday or the day before, and here I am very quickly trying to pull this up without anybody knowing, and it is the sponsor of Rick Rare Weight Racing's number 54, sponsored by Slayer.
Oh yeah.
Does it get any better than that?
No.
you know, the greatest band in the world and they're sponsoring a race car. I love it.
Was that an official ranking? I missed that one.
Well, they're
I've heard of like Rolling Stones or the Beatles or something, but I missed the one where I saw Slayer was the number one ranked band.
Well, actually, Slayer's number two, Iron Maiden's number one.
Oh, but, okay.
You know, it kind of depends on what mood I'm in.
Right.
But yeah, they're one of the top two greatest bands ever.
Okay.
So, and that's official.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. I'll have to, I want to see a hard copy of that poll sometime.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
All right. We're going to have a full show today. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Dennis Michelson from D-Mike Media on. We're going to talk, of course, Michigan, as I said, in the truck series up at Michigan International Speedway and the Mid-Ohio Xfinity Series, which is always an exciting race in itself, where you got four guys that are making their Xfinity debut at Mid-Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Two of the four have been on the show before.
I know.
Did you notice that?
I did.
Oh, very good.
That's awesome.
And then we're also going to talk a little Dave Marcus.
What?
Yeah, Dave Marcus was on the Dale Download podcast, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite sites on YouTube, especially when he has guys on like Dave Marcus, because Dave Marcus has some great stories. Wisconsin born, the pride of Wisconsin in NASCAR. Before Alan Kulwicki and Matt Kenseth, kind of forgotten now, but he's an interesting guy. If you've ever met Dave Marcus, super nice guy, and just he was around when it was so cool to be running NASCAR. I mean, that era he ran is just, you know, so cool. And then, like I said before, we're going to have a live report from Knoxville Nationals from John Degnitz. Looking forward to that. He runs with Bill Balog, who's been on the show. Bill Balog's running down there. And it's a pretty cool event. We'll kind of give you a thumbnail sketch of how it works and how everything is geared towards the big feature tonight. So we'll have that. Hour two, we'll have a short segment on some notes and some bookkeeping, whatever, house cleaning, whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to get into I had Willie T. Ribbs on the show. Interviewed him earlier this week. He ran in Indianapolis at the SVRA Vintage Trans Am race. He was in victory lane. So, as like Kevin Olsen a couple weeks before, you win a race, you come on the show.
Absolutely.
You know, especially somebody like Willie T. Ribbs, who is such an exciting and dynamic personality. I had him tell his Muhammad Ali story once again, which is very good. There's a documentary coming out on him. Just interesting guy. We're also going to talk with David Land, talk some IndyCar stuff with him. And then the bottom of the second hour, we're going to have we're going to tune into Brad Keselowski, who won the poll at Michigan. So some interesting stuff there. So a fun show will be coming right up after this on the Final Inspection Show.
Final Inspection. Final Inspection. Now, Dennis Michelson of D-Mike Media is here to give us the inside track on NASCAR and the world of short track racing.
To the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is from D-Mike Media, Dennis Michelson. The newly married Dennis Michelson, who has a little bit of a glow about him.
Yeah, congratulations, Dennis.
A very big glow. A very big glow. 1 week. I've been married a week now. That's crazy.
And you're still alive. I lost that bet.
Has the first pot been thrown?
No. Plate? But I'm
glass.
I can say no. There's actually been absolutely no issues in paradise. It's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, give it some time.
Yeah, it won't be long now.
Yeah. How about the look? Have you gotten that cold look, the cold stone look yet?
You know, I have not even gotten the look. Mm. It's amazing.
Definitely still in the honeymoon period. Yep.
Pretty shocked. I guess keeping the wife drunk. You know, by putting stuff in her coffee in the morning.
There you go.
You know, throughout and putting a little vodka in the old Mountain Dew is seeming to work wonders. I think I'll keep this strategy going.
Honest question. Which race are you looking the most forward to? in the world of NASCAR this weekend. Trucks at Michigan, Xfinity at Mid-Ohio, or Cup at Michigan?
Mid-Ohio, because it is just it's a crazy track. Like,
I love it.
I love Mid-Ohio as a track, okay, for sports car racing. It's good for IndyCar racing. It's a terrible venue for the big, heavy stock cars, which always means it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's going to be chaos. The fact that they put the start-finish line so close to that final corner, which is a tricky little corner for sports cars or Indy cars in big, heavy stock cars, it's really crazy. It just leads itself to the potential for mayhem. Plus, we've already got to see Michigan this year. You know, if I can't go to Michigan, because the greatest thing about the Michigan races, for anyone who has never attended them, are the farmers markets just around the down the
yes.
the street from them.
That's a good memory. I forgot about that.
Oh, my goodness. It was always the strawberry race was the first race, okay, because strawberries were everywhere, and, you know, it was too early. It was a little too early for the great Michigan cherries, but it was the strawberries. And the strawberries in the state of Michigan are just fantastic. So this second race, not only are the cherries now pretty much ripened up and ready to rock, but it's also sweet corn season. So I would always pick up sweet corn on the way home. So that's how I remember these races and keep them straight. But when they changed the dates around a little bit, they've kind of been screwing with the growing season. So I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, the public health message of the hour is make sure to keep those sweet corn cobs away from the dogs. They can't digest them. I saw that on the internet today. I didn't know that. It's never been an issue with our dogs, but yeah, I guess it's bad if dogs eat corn cobs. So.
I never knew that. I'll have to write that down.
Well, when there's a thing in the garbage that is covered in delicious butter and salt, of course the dog is going to eat it, but, you know.
So true.
So keep the corn cobs away from the dogs. Jeffrey.
Well, Dennis, if you hadn't gotten the look yet, if your beautiful new wife would have heard what you just said, she would have given you the look. Because the answer is definitely not Mid-Ohio. Okay, last week we had Road America, we had Watkins Glen. I am road coursed out. Get me back on a nice oval that is simple enough for my tiny little brain to, you know, to absorb and understand. And the strategy is straightforward. You don't have 18 different pit strategies and it all comes down to a late caution and everybody's on the same one at the end anyway. Give me a nice oval. So I will tell you, you know, if she's not sitting next to you, she's giving you the look through the radio. So you can check that box now. But yes, you know, as far as road courses, Mid-Ohio is fairly entertaining. I will give it that.
Yeah, that's just it, is the entertainment basis. I will say that Michigan's going to be intriguing because they're supposed to put some of that grip compound down for the weekend. And, you know, if they do that, it changes all of how the track runs a little bit, perhaps. As far as big tracks go, Michigan usually is pretty entertaining. I just hate that they keep taking power away from the Cup guys because Michigan used to be a place where that horsepower could shine. But yeah, I think the racing actually this weekend in Michigan will be okay. You know, it won't be earth-shattering. There won't be any big, you know, fights like we had last week and guys that, you know, had to take each other off their Christmas card lists and stuff like that. There won't be as much whining. I think that might be why I like the road courses, is lately they seem to be getting us the most whining post-race interviews afterwards, and I love that.
I kind of do. I don't know. I'm kind of neutral on that, but getting back to Michigan, let's take the splitters off, put some air, get some air underneath those cars, and then you don't have to take away horsepower. Make them so they have to slow down going into the corners. IndyCar finally realized that. I know they're not going to do that, though.
No, they won't dare do that because that puts the pressure on the tires, and if Goodyear has a tire failure, then Goodyear has a bad name. So Goodyear puts the hard bricks on there that don't give up any grip through the run, so tire strategy's out of the way. That's what I loved about, a few years back in NASCAR. You turn back the clock 15 to 20 years, the tires actually wore out. Drivers actually had to think when they're going into the corner, because if they got in too hot, they're going to go up a little, get a little squirrely up towards the wall, and they weren't going to get on the gas as well. But mostly the tire wear. So a guy would go out and be the rabbit, go, run 10 to 15 qualifying like laps, and you'd have the Mark Martins and the Terry Labonte's of the world sit back there just kind of going a little bit, about 85%, 90%, and just kind of making sure that they stay in the running, don't lose too much truck position. And then the last 20 laps on a tire run, you'd see these guys rolling through the field because they had more grip through the corners where it mattered. And you'd see the rabbits, that were up there earlier fading to the back, and the young drivers be out there running like superstars. And then you put four good feel goods on, and you'd be racing right back up through the pack. You could try to go on gas mileage, but an extra stop and fresh rubber would be worth so much speed that you're worth maybe 3 seconds a lap, that you could change and beat that strategy. I mean, there were so many good things when they actually cared about putting tires on the car that performed rather than ones that just last no matter what the drivers throw at them.
Yeah, and I kind of miss the days too, Dennis, and I never thought I would say this, where you go to a track like Michigan and you're running so fast and so hard and the horsepower is so high that you have chances of blowing your engine. And you would get 4 or 5 engine failures per race, and you just kept your fingers crossed that it wasn't the guy you were rooting for, or the guy you had money on. I kind of miss those days.
Yeah, and you were talking about Dave Marcus earlier, good old Mr. Wingtips there. That's one of the ways that Marcus made a lot of money, was by being very, conservative on how he drove the car. So he would be around at the end and be able to pass all these guys that were having engine failures or down to 7 cylinders or whatever. And then at the end of the race, he'd let it all hang out. And he'd come away with a much higher finish than he should have come out with, based on his speed, only because he was a smart racer. And, they've taken away being smart as part mm-hmm. of the deal, because the equipment nowadays, now when you see a blown engine, you're like, wow, you're amazed. Whereas back in the day, a guy could be out there leading by 10 seconds with 5 laps to go, and you weren't, all that shocked when he blew up an engine. So it was part of the strategy. It was part of the game of being able to get your equipment to last. One of the reasons why Ford and Robert Yates and his engines were so strong back there during the day, because, back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, he had the horsepower, but he also had the durability. Now everybody's got durable engines. It's really a freak thing when you lose an engine now. But, it's another piece of the strategy out. And the cars are so even. That's why we get these whiny little fights. And every time I hear these guys' whiny little fights, I laugh about some of the old stories of NASCAR way back in the day where, a tiny Lund would confront a Lee Petty and get all upset about stuff and start a fight, and then get cold-cocked by Mrs. Petty, who had a brick in her purse. It's just the whiny fights that we get nowadays are just, so small compared to the real rhubarbs that you used to get
out
of the
races. They all suck, Dennis.
Way back in the day.
Even baseball. I mean,
Yeah, it's just
a bunch of guys pushing on each other.
Oh, even hockey fights, they've gotten more rare, and they're more just like hugging sessions now instead of real good Donnybrooks. And you know, about the only fighting you really get anymore in sports is probably all fake in WWE. You know, those are the best fights.
I'm not saying we need, you know, Rudy Tomjanovich or Juan Marichal swinging a bat at people's heads, but you know, something maybe a little in between.
I'm with you.
You know, and I'm not you know, saying we should have violence all the time either at the track. All I'm saying is, I'm just amazed at how soft everyone has gotten in racing. Obviously, they didn't spend enough time at the short tracks, because if you go to a good short track race, Bowman Gray, or, you know, even Rockford Speedway, or, you know, you head out to any of the old short tracks, even Madison, and you're probably going to see some pushing and shoving after the races. You know, guys just naturally are going to get into it, and so do the ladies a lot of times as well. I've seen some good fights with the women drivers up at Rockford Speedway back in the day. You know, we just get so soft. Now it's, oh, I'm not going to talk to him. Oh, he didn't call me. He didn't text me. Like, give me a break. This is racing. You don't like the way the guy raced you last week? Dump his butt this week. That'll get the message across a lot more than waiting on a tweet.
Quickly, Dennis, where is Matt
DiBurrito?
Matt DiBenedetto going to be next year?
Oh, boy. You know, I think he'll hang on with a job, but I've just not.
Well, I mean, yeah, he'll be a tire carrier or something. I want to know if he's behind the wheel of a car.
No, he'll be driving. I mean, he's established himself.
Not the truck, though.
I think he'll drop down. You know, he'll have a ride in one of NASCAR's top three series. But no, I'm fearful that, you know, won't be as good of a ride as he has right now. I mean, in today's NASCAR, it's more about how you can bring the money. And, you know, you see sponsorships that come and go all the time. I mean, you guys were talking about the IK9 earlier. A lot of these deals that pop up nowadays on so many of these cars, when you see a company you haven't heard of, a lot of it is the fact that the family of that driver or the team owner or someone within that hierarchy of that team that put that new sponsor on is raising money in the equity markets for that company so they can survive. A lot of these guys have gotten creative that way, that they help raise money. Or you look at the pilot and Flying J sponsorship. That's the father of the driver of Michael Annette's. Owns a big trucking company and has all of his trucks stop at Pilot and Flying J. And a percentage of the gas money or the diesel money that he spends goes to sponsor that team. I mean, these guys have to get creative nowadays, because at the amount it takes to sponsor a NASCAR race, or race car, I should say, companies aren't looking at it as a direct return on investment. Like it did back in the day. So that's why we're seeing so many creative sponsorships, and, you know, they don't last long. DC Solar is a great example. You know, a lot of these companies are just, you know, they're not going to be here for the long haul, and so they're not going to be on cars for the long haul either.
Well, Dennis, we certainly appreciate you joining the show, and we'll chat again next week. What's the latest at D-Mike Media?
Oh, we're rolling through the fantasy football stuff right now, but also had a great feature this past week on pay-per-view racing providers at the track. A company called Rivet that does a great job, and a guy by the name of Tony Stevens from Pit Row Media. But if you also want to, if you're a fantasy football junkie, check out my work over at FakePigskin.com. Where today I tell you all about how running backs by committee aren't all the same.
All right, Dennis, real quick, who you got at Mid-Ohio today?
Mid-Ohio, I'm going to take Austin Cindric.
All right, my boy. And then what about tomorrow in the Cup Series?
Give me Truex, Jr. I'm going to stay with Martin.
All right, and we'll look forward to seeing D-Mike Media on the hood of a NASCAR anytime soon, buddy. I love it.
Only if they provide me with the right equity partnership.
Very good. It's Dennis Michelson on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We're going to expand on the life and times of Dave Marcus coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. This is Steve Zotke, along with my trusty sidekick, Jeff Orlowski, and Mara Mitch behind the board. So, do you remember Dave Marcus as a driver, Jeff Orlowski?
I do, but not...
He was kind of right at the end of his career, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. So, I remember him. You know, I've obviously learned more about him the older I've gotten and the more into racing I've gotten. But as far as when he was still active, very little.
Have you seen any of the Dale Download podcasts?
You know, I tried a couple times.
With who, though? I mean, it depends on the guest.
Well.
If it's somebody current, I don't watch it.
You know, I'm not a huge Dale fan. And
he's pretty cool. I've always said, you know, we were kind of anti Dale Jr. when it was Sparky and Summer and I, but I was always against the fans. I always thought the fans weren't, you know. I always go back to Chicagoland Speedway when he had that big wreck in turn 3 and 4, and I'm looking down at a grandstand full at Chicagoland Speedway, and about a quarter of the grandstand is walking out in red T-shirts and jackets with Bud on them at the time.
Right.
I'm like, what the heck is going on here? They're leaving. I mean, really? You got, you know, eight hits the wall and you guys leave?
I know. I'm with you. You know, the fans drove me nuts, the Earnhardt Jr. fans.
So I personally like the deal downloads.
Okay.
And I saw the first one I saw is he did Ned Jarrett and Dale Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about, you know, Ned Jarrett is utmost respect for actually both of them. But Ned is just, I always can kind of consider him one of the Southern gentlemen of the sport. You know, Tim Flock is, I always thought, was the ultimate Southern gentleman NASCAR driver. And Ned Jarrett was right up there. But Ned Jarrett talks about driving in the early 60s and the cars are getting faster and faster, but not safety. And he talks about the Fireball Roberts crash. Glenn Fireball Roberts is a driver who got killed because of injuries and burns he received in the World 664. Now, he was called Glenn Fireball Roberts not because of that, but because he was a all-star high school pitcher in baseball. But horrible accident, car coming off of turn 2, cars got crossed up. Fireball skidded backwards into the interior wall at Charlotte, went up into the air, and then came down upside down in a ball of flame. Ned was the first one there. And, you know, Ned and Glenn's in the car going, you know, get me out of here, I'm burning up, which he literally was. And Ned pulled him out of the car. And to hear him tell that story, it sends chills up the back of your neck.
I mean, I bet.
Just, you know. And then you talk about, Ned or Dale Jarrett, some of the early, I mean, he started running the Busch Series in the early 80s, still somewhat the Wild West. And he talks about that wreck he had at Charlotte in 1980. He hit the wall. He hit a guy head on at 160 miles an hour. He didn't see him. He came off the wall. And he gets out of the car and his foot's facing the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
The fireman comes over and goes, I don't want any part of that, walks away. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of stories like that. And the one that broke last week was this Dave Marcus. And Dave Marcus, you all see him in the Goodyear hat. And he asks him, what's to do with the Goodyear hat? He talks about 1970. You know, he's an independent. you know, the factories are still involved, and these guys, you know, the petties and all these guys are, you know, they got all the free stuff they want. But guys like Dave Marcus struggled and got the hand-me-downs and whatnot, and, you know, most of the field was independents. You know, your guys like Bill Champion, Big John Sears, all these guys, Elmo Langley, these are, you know, the guys, those were their bread and butter, though, of NASCAR back then. Dave Marcus was only one of these guys, a guy from Wausau, Wisconsin, moved down in the late 60s, wanted to run NASCAR. And Goodyear really helped him out with tires, and they had a thing where Firestone was also involved in racing, too, and Firestone was paying off drivers, and Goodyear, you know, went to some of the independents, we'll take care of you, you know, and we'll give you a budget, and Marcus said, you know, I went over that budget, but they still took care of me. But then, you know, these guys would stay on Monday sometimes to scrub tires for the other teams that were running Goodyears and that. That's how they made money. And he said, they always took care of me. And they made it possible for him to continue racing. So that's why he wears a Goodyear hat to this day, is because he's where he's at today because of Goodyear taking care of him when he needed an help, you know. So
see, those are the stories that you don't get nowadays.
Right.
Because the money is so big. You know, and granted, the drivers aren't making what they were 10 years ago, but it's still so huge that these guys are getting so wealthy that the loyalty isn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but there's stories you hear, you know, guys like Tony Stewart who will buy, you know, Bob Higman was a midget car owner, mechanic for many years. Old-time guy. In fact, A.J. Foyt worked on his farm when he first came to the Midwest. Bob Higman, one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet. And, you know, Bob's getting up there in years. He's got one of these scooters. Well, Tony would always come up to the Higman farm or send somebody up there. They'd grab the scooter, bring it back to Tony's shop, and they would totally go through it, change the batteries, update it, you know, hop it up a little bit, and give him his scooter back, and always made sure that he was taken care of. And you hear stuff where, you know, Foyt or somebody and Penske and these guys, if something's up where a driver's hurt or something, you know, flying the family in and that. And so, I mean, some of that stuff does happen, but you just don't hear about it. But no, I understand especially on the racing end of that, taking care of people that way. Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from there. But if you get a chance to watch it, it's pretty cool. Dave Marcus, I think he's kind of forgotten a little bit in modern NASCAR, but I mean, he's a guy who, you know, the guy qualified 16th for the first Brickyard 400. You think, well, that's kind of okay, 16th. Well, yeah, but there was 65 cars that qualified. So,
oh yeah.
And I always thought, you know, he had an affiliation with Richard Childress, and he was Mark Donahue, I think, hired him to initially do the IROC cars back in the day, and he did that for like 30 years. And I always kind of thought that Marcus would kind of retire, but stay on in NASCAR as a car owner, as kind of like a satellite, you know, satellite owner with Childress, and that way they could kind of bring in drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in, you know, Joe Blow, well, let's put him in the Dave Marcus car for a year or two, and Dave can kind of, you know, groom him and that, and then, that never happened. He ended up starting at Camp 28 up in Rib Mountain, fishing camp, so. Can't blame them for that, I guess.
No, not at all.
All right, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk to John Degnitz, who's out in Knoxville, Iowa, for the Knoxville Nationals. This is the biggest sprint car race of the year. Full week of racing, lots of stuff happening. And he'll get us up to date on what's happening out there for tonight's big feature out at Knoxville. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. To the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from beautiful Knoxville, Iowa, at the Knoxville Nationals, it is John Degnitz. John, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Steve. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic here. I was just out in Knoxville about a month or two ago for the induction to the Sprint Car Hall of Fame. I always say, the people in Iowa, I mean, people in the Midwest are nice, but it seems like they're exceptionally nice in Iowa. How's everything going out there with, you know, just with the small little town of Knoxville, and I always get a kick out of how they accept the Knoxville Nationals there.
Well, they make their bread and butter off that racetrack in that town, so they are extremely pleasing to everybody that's coming to visit.
Yeah, and since I think about 1961, it's grown and grown and grown, and you know, dating back to Doug Wolfgang and Steve Kinzer and those guys, and you know, the momentum has certainly carried on as we get into the 20-teens here. I guess the big news out of this is the Kyle Larson situation. Kind of explain how the alphabet soup, as they call it, goes through, and how it's so tough to get into that final group into the feature of the A main tonight at Knoxville, and unfortunately Kyle Larson was not able to do that.
Right. So there were 108 cars here that split between Wednesday and Thursday for their qualifying night. And they do an accumulated point system, and the top 16 in total points got locked into the A main for Saturday night, which is tonight, and the next 10 got locked in to the first five rows of the B. Everybody else had to go through a re-qualifying night, which they call the Hard Knocks, and Kyle was unable to be there for that last night because he was qualifying for the NASCAR race in Michigan. Therefore, he would have had to start at the back of the E main tonight, which they take, I think there's 18 cars in it,
mm-hmm.
and they take the top four, transfer them to the D, which I think there's like 20 cars in that then, and then they take the top four that have to go to the C, and then they got to race through the B. So going from the E to the A nowadays is a pretty tough deal. So I guess they decided that it just wasn't worth the – I mean, Kyle's going to be here in person for, you know, his sponsor commitment and stuff like that, but they're not going to be racing.
Yeah, it would be really tough for him to do that. And I think there's a point where he kind of says, you know what, instead of hanging my, you know, butt out there to try and get in, you know, it's an opportunity for another – perhaps maybe a full-time team or a team that's kind of on the edge. And, you know, this could really make a team's season, making the feature for the Knoxville Nationals. That opens up a space for them.
Making the field for the A main is $10,000 to start, which is the purse money for a normal World Outlaw race. It's $10,000 to win on a normal night in a World Outlaw race. So it's a big deal to make the A main out here.
Yeah, and I give Kyle Larson a lot of credit because he said he's going to show up as a fan anyway just to watch it, even though he's not racing. So kudos to him. Donnie Schatz, you know, what kind of chance does he have tonight?
I mean, he's Donnie Schatz. He runs this place like nobody else since Steve Kinzer. And he's come out of the B and won the Knoxville Nationals before. It's a 50-lap race. He can do it. The issue he's kind of having this year is he's got a new crew chief. So that might be why they're just a tick off of what people are expecting out of him every year.
Yeah, if it's not done, give me three guys that we should look for those of us watching on pay-per-view tonight that we should kind of keep our eye on. Who's been quick?
I mean, the top two guys that came through in points from each night are David Gravel in the Jason Johnson car,
mm-hmm.
and Aaron Reutzel. And I think anybody in the top six could win tonight. The second row is Tim Schaefer from what they call the Steel City Outlaw,
yep.
and Joey Saldana. He's been really fast too all week. And then you got Brad Sweet starting outside in the third row, and he's a defending champion.
Right. In the Casey Kane car, yep.
Yep. So I think anybody in the top six has got a good chance of winning.
Is there, you know, in the back, you know, in the past, I remember you would have anybody but Kinzer t-shirts. Are there anybody but Schatz t-shirts out there?
There are, and there are a lot of boos when his name gets announced for starting lineup.
That's good stuff.
The hatred runs deep for great teams, just like, the, you know, everybody hated the Yankees back in the day.
Right.
Either loved them or he hated them.
Yeah. We're talking with John Degnitz on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline about the Knoxville Nationals. And you're, of course, affiliated with friend of the show Bill Balog and the 17B team. And you guys have a neat deal with the MAC Fund. Kind of tell the listeners how that works out.
Yeah, this is our fourth year now racing to benefit the MAC Fund. Bill donates 10% of racetracks that we race at, or you can go to BillBalog.com and order there.
All right, excellent. Now, how's Bill doing this weekend?
We had our qualifying night Thursday. We qualified 20th, which started us inside of row number three because they invert eight cars on the qualifying night, so mm-hmm. the fastest guy starts eighth. So, and they took the top four, so we had a good shot to transfer through automatically into the A, and the guy that started on the pole didn't go at the flag, and Bill had nowhere to go and ended up tearing the nose wing off the car, which
was going to
start restarting the back.
Yeah.
So we had to come through the C. We won that, and I think we won from 20th to 13th or something like that in the B, which didn't get us in the A, but he got some laps on the car. And last night we got a little luck with the pill draw. There was originally 79 cars there, which we happened to be the 40th car. So we were supposed to be the last car in the first group, which is not a good spot to be. And somebody in the second group scratched before qualifying, which made us the first car in the second group. So we qualified fifth quick overall in the second group and transferred to the A and started 10th and finished 10th. So we're starting 16th tonight in the B main.
Okay, very good. Oh, excellent. Well, John, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule being on the show. We wish the best to Bill in getting into the 8 feature tonight. And make sure you check out Bill Balog. That's BALOG.com and get your North Pole Nightmare t-shirts. And a portion of that's going to benefit the MAC Fund. So, John, thanks a lot for joining the show.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
All right, that was John Degnitz on the Great Midwest Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Coming up in the next hour, we're going to have Willie T. Ribbs, Brad Keselowski, and David Land from YouTube on the Final Inspection Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.